This morning's Sunday school is going to be briefer than normal. We're going to spend time in prayer. And I've really been burdened for our church to learn to pray and to grow in our prayer life. And we look back on this past year and a half, going on almost 2 years now, and we've seen the Lord work in our church. And we've seen the Lord grow our church. And I've often had people ask, what changes were made, or what are you doing differently, or this or that. And really it boils down, I think, to two things. God is gracious and kind. And secondly, I think we started praying more. And prayer ought to be the main driving force in a church. I think expositional preaching is the main event, but the main thing that runs behind the scenes and in front of the scenes is a church that would be praying. And we talked about it briefly on Wednesday night, men of prayer who were used greatly of the Lord. Almost every man you look back on in history, either Charles Spurgeon, Moody, Newton, all these many different men, Jim Elliot, and these famous missionaries, Hudson Taylor, would be known predominantly for one thing, and that would be they spent time in prayer. And not only that they spent time in prayer, but they knew how to pray. They prayed for the right things. They prayed with the right humility, as far as we can see. And of course, the Lord knows the heart. But it is my desire that our church would continually grow in being a church that prays. And not only a church that prays, but a church that knows how to pray. So we are going to be open to Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to look at Paul's prayer for the Philippians. And we're probably going to spend a few weeks looking at different prayers found in the New Testament, trying to learn from God's word how we are to pray. Before we do that, let's open up in prayer. Father, we come thankful to you for Jesus and the time we just spent in remembering his sacrifice upon that cross and being lifted up. Thank you for the drawing that has taken place in our hearts to him as our Savior. Lord, I ask that you would teach us to pray, that we would be a church that grows and that loves people, and that is not only wide and numerically seeing people come to know Christ, but also that we would be deep in knowing you and your word and be founded and stayed upon a solid foundation of your word. And I pray as people ask how this happens, that we would be able to point to you and say, it happens because we ask the Lord to do it. It happened because the Lord is good and gracious and kind and bends his ear to hear the humble. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. The verses say, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy and my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He starts off, you could say the main overarching comment of this verse is he's letting the Philippians know that he is thankful unto God for them. He says in the very first verse, verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. It should call to our attention two other well-known verses for prayer, both by Paul. He encourages us that in everything we are to do what? Give thanks. Less common verse, but Colossians 4:2, he says, be devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of, and I'm sure all of you can guess it, thanksgiving. If you want to have a vibrant prayer life, if you are tired of growing weary when you pray, If you can talk for hours with your friend on the phone, but when you go to pray and you feel like after 1 or 2 minutes, there's nothing left to say, and it makes you grow weary. And I think all of us, if we were honest, could say we've had times like that in our lives. Then what we need to be doing is spending time thanking the Lord. Spend time praising Him for who He is. God's majesty and holiness and attributes cannot be exhausted. There's always something new and wonderful to thank the Lord for. So what I want to do this morning is piggyback on Paul's thankful attitude in his prayer life. And I want people to be brave and speak up nice and loud and share some of God's attributes that you are thankful for. What's that? That was not nice and loud. Grace. God's grace. Grace is giving people that which they do not deserve. We are not deserving of God's love, and yet He's shown His grace towards us. What else? His mercy. Great. So the distinction between mercy and grace. Grace is giving somebody that which they do not deserve. Mercy is not giving somebody what they do deserve. We deserve eternal hell. We deserve punishment. We deserve eternal damnation. Yet God sent His Son to die upon that cross to take His wrath upon His shoulders. Good. Somebody else said something. His faithfulness. He is ever true. He keeps His word. He's faithful. We can depend on the fact that nothing can separate us from His love. What's that? Long-suffering. Yeah, He's patient. He's incredibly patient with us. Aren't you thankful that God does not have our patience? Our temper. What else? He's loving. God is love. We know love because He first loved us. He didn't wait for us to love Him. If He did, He would never love us. But He was gracious and merciful and gave His love to us and His Son.
He's zealous.
He's zealous. Yeah. So let's put those two together. He's all powerful, which means He's sovereign over all. And as He's sovereign over all, what is He zealous for? He's zealous for His glory, right? And so as He's working by His omnipotence, as He's sovereign over all, He is bringing about and working out things for His glory. And for a believer, that would be our Christ likeness. As we become more and more like Christ, He gets the glory. As those who reject Him are punished, He is getting glory for His holiness and His righteousness and His justness. What else? He's forgiving. Yeah. That could go along with His long-suffering and His mercy, that He could have done exactly what He did in Noah's day. He could have, right when Adam and Eve sinned, just said, well, that's it for mankind. No second chance. But instead, He's forgiving in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so there are so many more things that we could go on to and keep praising the Lord for. But He is incredible. He's majestic and He's holy. And we ought to lift up His name and be thanking Him for who He is each day. I think of what often is our prayer life. And these are not bad things to thank God for. I'm about to go over some of them that we should thank God for these things. But dear God, thank You for this day. It's wonderful to thank God for the day, but there are much, much, much better things to be thanking God for. Who He is and what He's done. Thank You for this food. Absolutely. Thank the Lord for the food, but thank Him more so for the bread of life, the living water, the one whom you can drink of and never thirst again. How much greater is the bread of life and the living water than this daily sustenance? right? Our vision ought to be so much greater than the temporal things around us as we thank the Lord and worship Him through prayer. We can also thank God for people that He has gifted to us. All right, Paul here is saying, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. He's thanking the Lord for the Philippian church and the believers there in Philippi. And he's focused on God's goodness to him and giving him these believers and having them as part of his life. When's the last time during the week you just sat down and said, God, thank you for my church family? We can also thank God for things which he has gifted us with. But may neither people nor things become idols to us. And maybe a reasonable heart check for us would be if you thank the Lord more for people and more for things that he's given to you than thanking him for him. Maybe those things have crept in as idols in your heart. He says, always offering, verse 4, prayer with joy. He's offering a joyful prayer before the Lord. So what are things that are unchanging that ought to give us joy? The cross, Christ, Trinity-focused prayer. Those who are predominantly thankful for mere things in prayer are very unlikely to pray when those things fail. If 90% of your prayer life is thanking God for things and people, what do you think will happen to your prayer life when those people fail you and those things fade away? I mean, Jesus says in Matthew, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't corrupt. And the point he's getting across is what? The things here on earth, the temporal things are that. They are temporal. So is it okay to pray for temporal things? Absolutely. But they ought not dominate your prayer life. Rather, where should our focus be? On the things that last for eternity. And that is how you can have a joyful prayer life, is when your prayer life is 90% filled with the unchanging things that your joy ought to be found in, like Christ and the Trinity and the cross and God's love for us that never fades away and never fails. He says, in my every prayer for you all, every prayer which he was offering up for the Philippian church was a prayer of gratitude. He was not bemoaning in his prayer life. He was not complaining in his prayer life. Rather, he was thankful because Paul learned that with whatever state he was in, he learned to be what? Content. Thankful unto the Lord. And verse 5, why was he thanking the Lord for them? He says, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. How could he continually be thankful in his prayer life? Well, because he was thankful not for them in and of themselves, but rather he was thankful for God's work and the gospel in them. He was thankful for what God was doing in their lives. He was recognizing the source of their goodness, the source of their salvation, the source of their fruit that was being seen in Philippi. He was thankful to God for it. Because when we become man-centered in our prayer, it's not going to be thankful and joyful. Because those people will what? They will fail eventually. But when we're God-centered in our prayer, thanking the Lord for what he's doing, what happens when that person does fail us? What happens when they're not being fruitful like they ought to be? We can still thank the Lord that he's sovereign and good and gracious. In verse 6, he says this. Or let me note one last thing. When we get 100 times more excited about someone's healing or someone getting a new job than we do about someone getting saved from eternal damnation, we can know that we're surely on the wrong track in our prayer life. Should there be great joy when somebody recovers from cancer? Absolutely. Should there be great joy when somebody gets dismissed from the hospital from a sickness? Absolutely. Should we be excited when somebody gets a new job or promotion? Absolutely. We're all members of the same body. We rejoice when one rejoices. We sorrow when one sorrows. But far greater ought to be our focus and our joy on eternal salvation. I mean, if you get so excited over a job, and then when you hear that somebody comes to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and you're like, great, yeah, we've been praying for that for a long time, that's wonderful. Like, where are our priorities? When we spend more time praying for that job promotion or that new job or that healing than we do the lost souls around us, where are our priorities? He goes on to verse 6 and he says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." So he's confident in God's ability not only to save, but to keep people saved and to sanctify and to do exactly that which he intends to do. So once again, there might be people who have the backward reasoning and say, well, if God is going to perfect his work in each believer anyways, why should we pray? It's the same logic that they use. They'll say, well, if God is the one who reaches down to people with salvation and gives them the gift of faith, why even share the gospel? Right? It's backwards. Number one, all I need is God commanding me to do something, and hopefully we joyfully do it. He's commanded us to share the gospel, and he's commanded us to pray. But secondly, God still uses man to bring about his eternal purpose, to bring about his sovereign plan, and he has called us to pray. So all the more reason for us to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we can be confident that what will God do? He will answer our prayers according to his will, and he will continue to work in the people and the believers and continue that which he has begun. Started a book with Emmy and Russell last night about David Livingston, and noticed something, a statement about his dad. And of course, David's dad would be known as the man who's David Livingston's dad was, right? That's what you'd think he would be known for. But little known fact about him, he sold tea. He would buy these huge bags of tea, then individually bag them, and then go door to door selling tea in their community. And he did this not because it made him rich, not because it gave his family a lavish life. In fact, David and his siblings worked 14 hours a day, 6 days a week in a mill growing up. And then they went to school from 10 p.m. to midnight each night to learn. But he did this job because it gave him an opportunity at every door he knocked upon to share the gospel. And as he walked about, he prayed for opportunities to share the gospel. He was a man who chose a job that allowed him to be a man of prayer and a man of sharing the gospel. That is the type of person that we ought to strive to be. People who are filled with praying for one another, praying for the gospel, praying for the lost, and praying that God would continue his work in our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we be people of prayer. I'm going to pray, and then I invite other people, once again, popcorn style, just to pray following me. I do ask, because of time's sake, that maybe you pray for 2 minutes or less to give other people an opportunity, as we don't have a ton of time. Well, let's spend the next 10 minutes or so praying and thanking the Lord for his work and his grace, and praying for the next service. Dear Lord, we come to you thankful for your word. We ask that we would grow in our understanding of it. Lord, teach us to pray. Would we learn more and more each day how to lift up your name as your word does. Pray for brothers and sisters in Christ as your word does. Pray for the proper things and the proper accord and proportion according to your word. May we have our eyes and our prayers fixed on eternity rather than the temporal. We pray these things in Jesus' name.